Welcome to this episode of the 9420 podcast, where we talk about the music that we love and the industry that we tolerate.
Actors are unlikable people, and I'm always late for the preview.
And welcome to this episode of the 9420 podcast. That was Alex Michael Jones with Never Grow Up. Hi, Carl and Greg. How are you both doing?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm excited about Alex Michael Jones. I'm full confession, I have not heard these songs before.
No, you have.
Have I?
I have documentation that you have heard them.
Well, I don't remember them, but I...
It's been a while.
Evidently have a good impression twice.
Yes.
That was fun.
It has been a while since you've heard them, but you have, and you said that they were very, like, theatrical, and you were okay with them being on the podcast.
Over the top personality vocals, which, to me, Carl, check me on this, to me it sounds really bubblegum, which I think is a fantastic thing, actually.
Well, no. Well,
You don't hear bubblegum?
It's a little too heady for bubblegum. It's a little too smart.
I just thought that bubblegum was driven... by big personality vocals and kind of off-center lyric and, you know, kind of fun, you know? Kind of fun, right?
It's funny you mentioned bubblegum because I don't know if it falls into bubblegum, but sad passing the other day, Eric Carmen.
Yeah, man.
I saw that.
To me, the Raspberries were the quintessential post-Beatles pop bubblegum band.
Yeah.
I thought they were
amazing.
Great.
Amazing. Once again, vocal driven.
Well, you know, I remember I read an article from him years ago where he said, well, how he devised the band was to be a Beatles type band, but with Beach Boy type harmonies.
Yeah.
So he tried.
That's a great way of putting it.
That's what he said. He tried to meld the two, and I don't know, like go all the way. There's like dun 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 dun, and then right to the chorus. There's like no verses in his songs. Right. It's the intro. I got one sentence, and then hey, we should go right to the chorus, baby.
I think interest in these kinds of songs in this genre. I think it comes about every 20 or 30 years, and because you know you had it in the 60s. And early 70s, and then it wasn't until like the mid 80s that you heard it again. There was this band, a new wave band that I really liked called Joe Boxers. I don't know if you've ever heard of
them. Yeah, I remember them, sure.
But they had this hit called Just Got Lucky, which was just sparkling, right? And
right,
so
right.
That's this track reminded me of Joe
Boxers. One of my favorite songs is this one hit wonder from this band called The New Radicals called You Get What You Give from the 90s.
Extraordinary.
That's a great song.
Extraordinary.
But what I like about Eric Carmen is that he had this great Raspberries career. Early 70s, man, Let's Pretend, you know, Big Sense, all these great songs he had, you know. And then went solo. And if you ask me, wrote the quintessential pop rock ballad All By Myself. To me, that is like, to me, that's an epic song. You know, even though the Beatles did, you know, had ballads, and there was Bridge Over Troubled Water, which was a big ballad, but none of them fit into the category of pop rock ballad like he wrote. I think he even invented the boom, 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 that drum thing at the end. I think I never heard that before, where it just stops and you hear boom, 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 oh, you know? And I think that was a guy named Jimmy Einer back then, like in the late 70s. And I thought that was great. And what kind of pisses me off about Eric Carmen's career, that his biggest, most well-known song is Hungry Heart from Dirty Dancing, which to me is like his least cool song, but that was his biggest. Like if you look on Spotify, it streamed 10 to 1 over any of the other songs he ever did.
That's because of the whole romantic attraction of that film.
You know, I'm glad he's happy he did it in the mid 80s. It made him some money, probably, you know. But you know, but to me, it, All By Myself, Never Gonna Fall in Love Again. He had these really great. I don't know. I thought that song was amazing. And then, if I don't know if you listen to the old uncut version of All By Myself, it has the whole Rachmaninoff piano thing in the middle. Very, very cool.
At the risk of getting old, which we all do.
I mean, the risk of getting old.
At the risk of sounding old. I mean,
the risk?
I think that this music is immortal. And I think that, you know, I listen to it all the time. I mean, I'm typically. My sweet spot for listening is typically 63 through 75. You know, I mean, that's basically what I'm listening to. And I recognize that these songs are 40 years old. You know, these songs are, in some instances, 60 years old. Yeah. So it's kind of creepy to think about. But when one of these guys passes on, I think to myself, they really are. The music they created is really immortal. It'll be having a positive impact on people for.
Well, I have a new mixed view on this now. I go back and forth. On one level, I go, you know, you're right. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm showing my age or my whatever or my time. But I don't think anything Billie Eilish did or even Taylor Swift has done is going to resonate like All By Myself in 50 years.
No, I agree.
I think there's going to be that, wow, that, you know, or like, you know, or Hey Jude, whatever you think of that. But then again, why should it? You know, our time was our time and it's what it was.
Right.
And like now, this is their time. This is what music is now. So it's just different. It's streams. It's not records. It's like it's their thing. So who knows what it'll become? So who says our thing was the right or better or whatever?
And honestly, none of us are going to be here to even see what happens.
I'll be here.
But here's the problem, or here's at least the main
episode
issue.
2,700. I'll be 114 years old. He goes,
what? Back in the day, huh? In my
none, of it, well, none of us will be able to hear anything. What? Huh? Here's the problem associated with being nostalgic about how great music was in the 60s and 70s, and it maybe even in the 80s to some degree, because of there was a lot of cool new wave stuff.
Yeah, Prince.
The problem for me is that when we are featuring newer writers, newer artists, people that are doing contemporary work, I keep hearing all the influences from 50 years ago. Now,
exactly, of course.
Am I hearing it because I heard that stuff before, or are they actually imbuing their work with these influences that appeal to me?
I think it's both.
You think it's both? Mm-hmm. I hope it's both. I don't want to see things through the lens of Paul Revere and the Raiders.
I mean, I do think our own perspective on the sounds that we heard when we were younger influences kind of how we hear things now. But yeah. We can't just say like, oh, we think, because it's almost been every single artist we've featured sounds like something we've heard previously. So they definitely are taking those influences. And I think even we've heard from some artists that have said like, older influences has definitely inspired their sound right now, and that's who they're kind of trying to emulate. So,
well, my barometer is the Herman's Hermits.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. And it's like, you know, I found myself watching Peter Noon on a show, a Herman's Hermits hits show that was at some kind of janky amusement park, and, you know, there's like 500 really old people clapping to every note. You know, and it's like, but he can still do it. I mean, he can still entertain. He sings well, and it was kind of enjoyable to see. Although, I thought to myself, man, I fit right in with those geriatrics sitting under that, you know, tent and eating a corn dog.
I have a new rule. I haven't had one in a while.
Joy.
It's because of, you know, Eric Carmen's passing. They're having a lot of, you know, I see a lot of videos about him and the Raspberries. I just saw one from the House of Blues from like 2002 or 2005. So not that long ago, like 20 years ago, but still. And he did Go All the Way, and it was great. He could still sing it, but you know what? He got so fat. And my
so is your here rule we to go.
My rule is this is a rule. I'm sorry, if you have to be a rock star, if you are a rock star, you cannot get fat. I'm sorry.
I feel like you've made this rule before.
Well, it is the rule. Like, you know, you know, and you cannot be bald. If you are a bald fat guy, like, you know, you ever see the new guy from Loverboy? You ever see the guy from Loverboy?
Yeah, he kind of...
the guy is like singing, everybody is working. Like, you know,
he lost control.
He's like 600 pounds. He's balding with that headband. And he's still like wearing like the sweatpants, thinking like he's in Loverboy. It looks like... Are you kidding me? You can't be... It's a rule. It's one of the rules.
I'll agree that they can't be bald. They should probably invest in like a wig or two.
Or some kind of hat. Yeah. Or a hat, do something.
You know, I can't. I mean, some people can't control their weight.
That's not true. It's show business. You can. Well, then you don't get on stage.
Well, you can starve yourself and get a cocaine habit. You know,
don't get.
Starve yourself and get a cocaine habit if you're being paid, you know, doctorate level money to go out and sing eight songs.
Have you seen? You know, and, I think he looks a little weird, but you see, like a couple of years ago, Axl Rose.
Yeah.
He was so cool back in the day, you know, when he used to have his headband and caps and long hair and glasses. Yeah. He was skinny, good-looking rock star. Whatever you think of Guns N' Roses, he was like a great-looking rock star. Now he's just fat guy. Like, you know, I'm sorry. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't think that we should be, this should not be the fat-shaming episode.
I'm fat-shaming rock. Oh, now, no, not nothing.
It's
not,
rock
not,
stars.
Not everybody.
It's
rock stars.
Yeah, it's like, I must admit, I recently saw a concert performance film of Aerosmith that was filmed, I guess, about 6 months ago. And it's pretty extraordinary, those guys, the shape that they're in.
They're rock stars.
They're rock stars. I mean,
sorry,
and they're like, real rock stars.
The Beatles, no Beatles got fat. No Stones got fat. None of the Who got fat.
Aerosmith.
You know, they abide by the, you know, I'm sorry. You know, hold on. Here at 9420, we fat shame rock stars. That'll be our new.
It's gonna be bad. Although you can name a lot of people that are still on the road, still kicking ass, that have maintained their, let's call it, stage presence. They've maintained it. I mean, Alice Cooper is better now than he was 40 years ago.
He's not fat.
Well, I mean,
But then again, I love Billy Joel, and he still looks. He still can do it. And he's kind of fat.
Yeah, he don't look like he's... you're going to have to amend your...
So, except if you're a... I don't know. And Elton John...
It's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. No, I mean rock stars. You know, Billy Joel's a piano player, singer-songwriter. I mean, like, if you're in a rock band...
Elton John's a performer.
He doesn't count because he was always... He never looked like a rock star, but he was this flamboyant, amazing rock star. But he never looked like your traditional rock star. I mean, he didn't look like he could be in a hair band, right?
I don't know. What am I?
What was this story I came into when I was?
No, we're just talking about how life is just stupid.
Glad I came into that.
I was just talking about how silly things happen. Like yesterday, I was downloading some files, and it said it'll take about 7 minutes to do it. So I my water, I have this jug of water I drink. So I go and I'm like, let me go fill my water while the thing's downloading. So I go to fill up my water. I see in the sink there's a bowl. So I go, let me clean the bowl while I'm doing that. You know, I'm cleaning the bowl. You know, I fill up my water, but I put it on the counter next to the coffee machine, and then I clean the bowl. But I forgot to tighten the top on the water. So as I'm cleaning the bowl, I put it back on the dish rack, and the glass falls off into the sink and breaks. I go, okay. So I'm cleaning off the glass. As I'm cleaning the glass, I cut my finger a little bit, and then my arm jerks and knocks the water container over, spills all over the counter, my coffee machine, and the floor. So now I have to get the mop.
Within 7 minutes,
became this, 25-minute, cleanup thing where I'm mopping and I get the feather dot. It was ridiculous. I go and I start laughing hysterically. Like, I couldn't even orchestrate this stuff if I tried.
It was like a little calamity. 25-minute comedic.
Right. If somebody was watching me, it would have been ridiculous. You know, it's like.
It's like a Lucy episode.
No, like Benny Hill. Speed it up and I'm just knocking everything over. I just wanted to fill my water up.
Exactly.
So, I'm an idiot. Anyway, that's what I do with my life. Now that we covered the BS section of the
What are you talking about? Water? Do you have some special water that you prepare?
No, I have a filter. I have filtered water.
Oh, okay.
I have a filter under my faucet that filters the water out.
I got you.
So I guess we can't really go through an episode without talking about. Two things.
What? That's one. How is that somebody?
I know what the one is.
The one is the fact that as of yesterday, the House passed a bill that is supposedly going to ban everyone's beloved TikTok.
Big deal. Yeah.
I could take it or leave it. I think it's a great tool. For people who are trying to make it, but at the same time, I think those people who've put all their eggs into one basket are going to be sorely missed.
Do you buy their premise?
What do you mean?
That because it's a Chinese-owned company that they're using it to basically spy on us and get
data mine.
100%.
Yeah, I think they data mine. Yeah,
yeah. I think that they use it to spy because the way that it works too is apparently they put different types of constraints on the Chinese version of the app versus the American version. So I do think that what they're talking about, there's some water to hold with it. But to me, if you're going to ban TikTok, then ban Facebook and Instagram and all the other things too, because like,
baby,
they're all just as bad.
Baby, what have I been saying?
I'll pull the plug.
PTP, baby. PTP.
Got to get that on a mug.
Well, I think it's a little bit disingenuous to say, you know, this thing shouldn't be banned because, you know, I'm doing a lot of good work on this platform. I think the American public are just naive enough that they don't understand that just because they're on a particular device or use an app or have an audience, they don't own that audience. They don't own the pipeline.
Years. They do not own it. Like,
they don't own it. So therefore they become entitled pretty quickly when you have all these companies throwing you millions of dollars because you're a quotes influencer. Hey, guess what? Tomorrow, you're not going to have those 6.9 billion likes. You're not going to have any likes because you didn't own the pipe. You know, that's why these people aren't particularly real. And
no, I disagree. I disagree.
How could you disagree? They don't own the pipe.
If I don't own the venue I play my gig in, but the people that come to see me are the ones, they're my fans. So they're still my fans, even though I don't own the arena. You know,
no,
so,
but I think it's a little bit different.
A million people are following me, regardless of whether it's TikTok, Facebook, or Joe Schmo's app. You know, they're my fans because I'm doing something they like. So they are my fans.
No, but like what Greg's saying, though, is you're kind of, I guess, like the venue, like you are renting out that particular platform.
Agree.
Right. How you communicate with them.
Yeah.
Is
and
key.
I think a smart thing now is for all of these people where this ban potentially could come in place, figure out how to get them off of this platform and into a system that you do own. So if they really, truly are your fan, they'll be more inclined to opt into that, and you'll still have access to them. You'll still have their email. But if they're not really fans and they're just on there for TikTok's purposes, you'll also figure that out pretty quickly as well.
But that's how you get fans. How many people really care about anything, really? You know, they're on it because it's... You know, it's like they're on it because it's kind of something, but...
Or get their phone number and start a text message campaign or something.
They're not going then they won't be bothered.
Then they're not real fans. That's what I will
say. Okay, what is
it?
You should start that? Who should try that?
If they won't follow you from platform to platform, they're not real fans.
Well, then, you know what? Let Taylor be our one that shouldn't be named Taylor. Let her take her 800 million followers, whatever she's got, and say, guys, you know what? I'm starting TaylorSwift.com. You got to only go there to see me.
They will 100% take
it. Well, it won't matter. It won't matter because...
If she does do that, then that disproves what Greg just said. Our fans are hers.
They are hers. The social networks have been used as an on-ramp to get to and to get access to major media. So, you know, people that became famous
on TikTok. There is no major media.
Of course there is.
What? I mean, what's major anymore? It's not just media.
Major media is Spotify. Major media
is YouTube. No, it's not. Spotify's not
major
media.
Of course it is. I mean, it's the way people consume music. So it's a major media outlet. It's a distributor.
TikTok is more of a major media outlet than Spotify.
No, what I'm trying to say is
I think they have 700 billion followers.
Once you get inside major media and they're no longer gatekeeping, then actually own the people fans.
I believe in minor media.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't disagree. I mean, I believe in... The patronage model where I can
penny saver.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Hey, you that's go. A great strategy for all you TikTok people who are about to lose your audience. Put an ad in penny saver.
There you go.
Yankee peddler. Exactly. Put your stuff up on bulletin boards and shove them all.
Old Farmer's Almanac. Yeah. Go for it. Yeah. No, I mean, I just think that if you don't own the pipe, if you don't own the distribution channel, then stop complaining.
Start becoming a more savvy business person. Because I think that's what people miss is...
Make flyers.
Jeez, God.
Yeah, on telephone poles.
Yeah.
You know, your phone number. You pick the phone number off.
Make a flyer, go put it in Bongo Java. You never know.
I love gig posters. I think they're extraordinary.
You do the phone number, 15 of the phone numbers, and you cut little lines, you can pull up.
Yeah, that little thing where you do it with the scissors where they cut your number off. I love that.
That's it, baby. You do that in shopping, what is it?
The supermarkets?
Supermarkets. Put them in the supermarket bulletin boards.
There you go.
Come
they
on.
All have bulletin boards in supermarkets.
Get out there. Get on your bike, man. Go do it.
There's an irony to that, actually. You know, the supermarket that Walmart became, you know what's on their bulletin boards? Like missing persons stuff.
Craigslist.
You know, the milk carton kid.
Let's bring back MySpace.
Hey, MySpace was great.
Friendster.
Let's hear more music. Oh. You guys are boring me with all this.
I'm just having a fun time, man.
The last thing I will say, at least maybe provide some music insight into what we're talking about. There is insight. Is as a music artist, now is the time to actually become a savvy business owner and figure out a plan for if TikTok were to go away. How would you get your fans to either move to a different platform or move to something that you own? That is all I will say.
And all I'll say is that the only way to guarantee free speech is to and freedom of the press is to own the press.
This ain't freedom. PTP, baby.
Well, I mean, they've mobilized everybody at TikTok to say, hey, this is a speech issue. No, it's not. The only way to guarantee freedom of the press is to own the printing press.
And the guys that are making these decisions are like 80-year-old white guys who don't even know what they're doing anyway. They can't even...
Who probably don't even have a TikTok account.
Right. You're so...
So to get back to what Greg said, let's listen to another single. We are going to listen to Have Mercy by Alex Michael Jones. But before that, we're going to hear from a really cool company called Nash & Tune. In this episode, we are featuring a local Nashville company called Nash In Tune. Nash In Tune is the most exciting country site to get you in tune with new music, fun events, and the Nashville life. For more information, you can go to their website, which is nashintune.com. That is NASHINTUNE.com.
Right.
He likes those abrupt endings, this guy.
Ooh, I like that. I like that, too. And I do, I vaguely remember that track. has this been a couple years ago that...
No, he submitted back in, like, June of last year. Okay. So, like, June 2023.
That track reminds me of an artist named Jules Holland. Did y'all ever hear
Jules
Holland?
Yeah. Yeah. If we're going to be honest, you kept sending him, and I kept thinking he was a different artist. When I finally yesterday, like, actually was like, I probably need to check who this person is since you keep sending it and are like who we have in the Hopper updates. I was like, ooh, we probably should have featured him a while
ago. So, Alex, we're sorry.
We apologize. It's my fault.
But Nicole, like, you know, is...
No, I'm a parent. The void's rubbing off on
she's
me.
She's losing
so.
It.
He is a stylist, so he. I understand that you can kind of, you know, take a lot of different things from track by track listening. So that didn't sound anything like the first track. So,
okay. So did we or did we not speak to him?
Ask him some questions?
Yeah, did we?
Yes, he answered our questions of the week. So the first question that we asked him is to tell us a little bit about himself.
Hi, my name is Alex Michael Jones, and I'm an artist from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My new album, Outside the City, is my first in a few years. I've been busy raising a family, and it was actually my oldest son's interest in my past music career that motivated me to get back out there. This is my second attempt at a solo album. All the songs were written and recorded by me in my home studio.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
I like the audience of one aspect of his son's inspiration.
Well, yeah, but that guy, a couple of years ago, didn't the guy... He'd made some demos when, and he gave his son his like 67, like, you know, Pontiac GTO or something. And the kid went in the car and heard this 8-track tape, and it was his dad.
Wow.
So, and he goes, wow. So he put it up on like YouTube or something, and it got a lot of plays, and he kind of got his, revived his dad's disco career. Like, 4 or 5 years ago, I remember something
on
like
eight,
that.
On 8-track.
Well, right. He took it and he digitized it and put it up on Spotify and like said, hey, this is my dad from the late 70s or something. And like, yep. Isn't that cool?
I vaguely remember back when 8-tracks were a thing. You could actually record onto them.
Yeah, I had an 8-track recorder. It sounds like you're vaguely remembering a lot today. Vaguely.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty vague. The void is vague.
I had an 8-track recorder, and I remember recording on that. And sometimes, if it went too long, it would skip to the next track in the middle of the recording.
Right.
It was retarded.
And then they'd get out of... They were kind of a mechanical device, and so what would end up happening is if the heads on the machine got out of alignment, it would start playing you 2 tracks at once.
Right,
or
it was weird, yeah.
Or flipping back and forth between track one and track two.
These kids don't know the technology that they missed.
Exactly.
Let me go. What else do we ask this guy?
So we asked him, what music artists have inspired your career so far?
Really everything, and I mean that. I have my idols, of course. The first record I ever bought was The Doors on cassette. That was like fifth grade. You know, rock and roll just through the ages. Reggae and punk have been hugely influential, as well as hip-hop and pop. I love swing and roots music. I guess anybody that really went for it, pushed their sound, wasn't afraid to be weird or rebellious.
Weird and rebellious. Those are keys for me.
That does describe him pretty well.
Yeah, those are keys for
me. Not
only
do his tracks just drop off, so does his answers. He just like drops off. He just stops. I like
hard
this.
Stop.
I like
hard
this guy. Stop. You know what I never got though?
Take that.
I never, in all my years of music, I never got reggae. I don't get reggae. I like some of Bob Marley's songs, but not the reggae-ness of them. You know what I mean?
I think there's a record that Marley made called Uprising, which I think might be as close as you can get to the perfect album. But I understand. I mean, it's like it's kind of became monotonous after a while, you know. Although,
and ska, like, I don't even know what that means.
No, I love ska.
Oh, I don't even know what that means.
Well, it was basically Jamaican influence on
reggae,
and it's Jamaican and reggae influence on like UK kids, particularly black kids, and the influence of Motown inside the UK.
That's why I really didn't like the Police.
60s.
I thought they were too reggae-like, and
yeah,
you know, I thought they were just trying to do reggae pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I think we asked them one. We asked Alex one last thing, did we not?
We did ask him one last thing, and it's Greg's favorite old question, yeah, which
much
is,
to your chagrin. Yeah.
What service is not currently offered in the music industry that indie music artists need?
As far as tools or services for indie musicians, I guess my biggest issue has been finding other musicians to connect with. Any kind of group or collective on social media seems to be immediately overrun with like off-topic posting and ads. It's difficult to collect players in that situation, especially when you've left the scene for a few years. Maybe it's my area, though. Some websites are out there, but utilize paywalls and subscriptions, which can definitely deter musicians. Have you ever met one? Money is always an issue, especially if you're starting out.
Again, drop off.
I know.
He just drops off. It's great. Like these guys.
Those Carl's answers new are favorite concise. Artist. Yeah, yeah. They're concise answers. There have been a couple of pieces of technology or apps that, you know, they portend that musicians could actually record and jam with one another via that app, and that, I don't think that works.
You know what I love about your answers, Greg.
What?
When you talk, you speak like you actually care about what you're saying.
I don't know about that.
It sounds like you're actually like thinking hard, like me. I just, if anyone listens, they know I just say words. But I have no, you know, connection to anything I'm actually saying.
Well, no,
it doesn't matter.
No, no,
but you. Act like you're really concerned with what you're saying, and you're right, finding the right word to say it. And
you know, you notice I use the word portent.
I know you use you got your thesaurus out, and you're you know. Anyway,
I think that he's probably right. There should be a, and you know who could step up and do that, but they won't. The musicians' unions. That could be a way in which they could spread their good news among players. People's ability to network, players' ability to network in particular regions so that they can play on one another's projects, I think that is a very viable need. And
There's no need for any of this. What's the
well,
need?
That's true. There's no need for
you know, like there's no need for TikTok. It didn't exist 3 years ago, whatever it was. Now all of a sudden, like, oh my god, TikTok, like big deal, you know. No. So what?
That's people that are entitled.
PTP, you know? Baby. I think I'm gonna get t-shirts. Yeah. PTP.
Yeah.
T-shirts, mugs, ball caps. Yeah. You know, all make an entire storefront.
And do one of those things. Do a t-shirt that has fat rock stars, and then one of those circles with a slash through it. You know.
Yeah.
No fat rock stars.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
No fat rock stars.
No fat rock stars. That's the entire episode.
I can't even breathe. If anything, I'm having a good time today. I'm really laughing, man. Don't you get me wrong, people. You can have fat people. Just can't have fat rock stars. I'm not shaming people if they're overweight. You know, it's hard sometimes. But if you're a rock star, it's like you know what? I don't care if you're an alcoholic, but no alcoholic pilots, because that's a job where I want you sober. So
yes.
Certain jobs require certain things where are different than the basic public. Don't you understand? That's the only thing I'm saying.
I don't know. Your reaction time is okay.
And on that note, I think it's time for us to get on out of this episode.
Your world just has too many rules, Carl.
Well, but...
Carl's rules, and we're just living in it.
It's Carl's world, baby.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the 9420 podcast. Make sure you listen all the way through, because we have one more single called Outside the City by Alex Michael Jones. For everything that we spoke about in this episode, you can go to our website, which is 9420.com. That is the numbers 94 and the letters TWENTY. Until next time, we'll talk to y'all later.
kids don't care.